suddenly it's done, the moment passes. Where does the time go? Must we let it end? Where does the time go?
The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
WHFR Dearborn. And
an article boevo, illuminate yon wood's primeval. See how the shadows deep and darken. You and your chicks should get to sparking. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took the shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glow and glow.
The snow is snowing and the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? For I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles form. Oh, what do I care if icicles form? Oh, I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my glove. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart on fire. The flame grows higher, so I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? Oh, I've got my love to keep me warm. The snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? Oh, I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles form. What do I care if I...
And now we'll connect you with a new WHFR journal from the Dearborn Artisans, Farmers and Artisans Market. Jay, are you there? Jay? Okay, we're on.
In the shade of a kind old tree, throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me. Oh, up a lazy river where the robins song awaits the bright new morning where we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you could be, up a lazy river with me. Oh, up a lazy river by the old mill run, the lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree,
throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me.
Up a lazy river where the robins song awaits the bright new morning where we can love along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you could be. Up a lazy river with me. Up a lazy river.
And now we return to new WHFR Journal. Okay, Jay. due to some technical difficulties. We're having trouble getting a reception in from the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, so we'll play some music in the meantime. We'll start with a Sheila Landis and the Girl from Ipanema.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mas cheia de graça, bela maninha que vem e passa, dos ovos dança como eu tomar. No sol do corpo do lado do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançar é mais que a bomba, e a coisa mais linda que já vi passar. Ah, porque estou tão sozinho.
Okay, this is Jay, are you there?
Dearborn Press and Guide and Dearborn Times Herald, and buy copies of them or subscribe. You know, without money, we lose the papers, and we can't survive on Patch.com and the Dearborn, the WHFR Journal alone. We need those professionals out there. Okay. Here's some of the headlines from the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday. Parents are airing their complaints about anti-Arab American behavior at Crestwood High School. And interestingly, also on the front page from last Sunday, Dearborn schools have already agreed to discrimination settlement with the federal government. Kevin, did you see that story? Can you summarize that? No, okay, let me do it then. Let me grab that. First of all, I hadn't heard, and I read the papers regularly, about the discrimination settlement. And here's the story. A federal agreement announced Thursday requires Dearborn Public Schools to step up services it provides to students and families who speak a different language at home. District officials in Dearborn now are going to do things like translating more paperwork and ensuring families understand and can access extracurricular activities. After a multi-year investigation, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights found the district violated the rights of parents with limited English proficiency, that's called LEP, for not giving them meaningful access to important information about their children's education in a language they can understand. Quote, unquote. Ooh. The office also said students who did not speak English did not have full access to non-academic and extracurricular activities, programs and services, including guidance and counseling, according to a Department of Energy report. So they have a resolution, and they're working it out in Dearborn, but it looks like they're having the same problems, and they haven't come to a resolution yet over at Crestwood High School over in Dearborn Heights. And it's taken this official complaint of some Arab American student parents to federal officials. This happened supposedly a week ago Wednesday in a discussion at the Carolyn Kennedy Library when they actually met with the Federal Department of Justice officials. I guess they go through the Justice Department in terms of trying to file suit, and then maybe the Justice Department forwards their complaint or the issue over to the Office of Education. The DOE. Mm-hmm. So that we'll keep track of that. I had not heard about either one of those, and I try to stay in touch, but we want to give equal opportunities to everybody, and I know the story probably in Dearborn, Dearborn Heights is that it's expensive. They have to hire extra people to do these kinds of things for people who are not native speakers of English. But of course, yeah, it needs to be done. But it's hard gearing up for that because the question is, well, where do we get the money to pay the people and to have the extra facilities to accommodate some of these needs? Yeah, it's a big deal. And I thought it was interesting, and it's a related story in the Dearborn Press and Guide. Where is it from? Oh, no, it's in that same issue, but I can summarize it from my notes here. We're outdoors here at the Ryan Library parking lot. It is really breezy. Oh, it's lovely outside. Hope you get outside. But, yes, there's a variety of different trucks pulling by as usual, and we're having fun here. Also, we're on a cell phone, folks. And I wanted to mention something I noticed. This is on page 4A, last Sunday's Press and Guide. Yes, Dearborn has laid off 44 more teachers, but of course they have to do that legally. Dearborn has about 1,200 teachers. Hopefully most of them can be brought back, depending on final funding from, of course, the state of Michigan, which is not in place yet. But I thought it was interesting, one of the other stories that Katie Hedrick has also given us is about the graduation interventionist report. You know, one of the real problems in our society today, and it's a problem in Dearborn as well as Detroit and almost everywhere, a very, very high percentage, as many as 40% of students who start high school do not graduate. Unbelievable. Dropout rate, 40%. That's in Detroit. Dearborn, I think it's closer to maybe 20% don't graduate. But even there, why? who in their right mind would not finish high school? I know there are certain personal situations that might demand a student to drop out to help their family somehow, to have to get a full-time job. Those, I hope, are very rare and seldom. But drop out just because they didn't like school, they're like ruining their future, I mean forever, if they can't get that education and move on quickly to a level of education that's really needed to get any good job these days. So what they've done in Dearborn and maybe elsewhere, probably with some government like State of Michigan demand, is they've hired three people. I don't know if it's full-time or not, but three high school graduation interventionists, one for each major high school in Dearborn, Etzel Ford, Fortson, and Dearborn High. And they all started in these new positions last fall. And I was pretty close. I said 80% graduate in Dearborn who start high school, only 76%, a couple percentage low. So it's only three-quarters, almost 25% do not graduate after starting Dearborn High School. And you say, well, they moved to another district. You know, they allow for that. They don't count people who move away, you know, and maybe go to another high school. So that's awful. That's terrible. And if you know anybody who's in high school, they'll drop out. It doesn't do anything for me. Boy, are they wrong. These days more than ever. Okay? So it's good. These people are giving their report, and they're tracking down students who should have graduated in the summer, and they're going to see how they can help them get back and finish high school. And then they're tracking students who are behind in credits for their grades and also worked with them to make up courses, often with what they call an after-school academic program. That's cute. The acronym is ASAP. Let's finish high school ASAP. Yeah, let's get the heck out of there. But no, this is to help them make up for what they need so they graduate on time, too. So, you know, in the olden days, I don't know about Kevin and Stone, but my high school actually had counselors that would talk to everyone at least once a month. Every student would have a personal, private interview, like, how you doing? How are your grades? What are you thinking about for college? And can I help with career choices? Can we help with selecting? And my daughter, who graduated from Etzel Ford in the 90s, had no support like that at all. No support. Kevin wants to tell his story here. Hang on.
Yeah, when I was in middle school, we had that. But after middle school, when I got into high school, that seemed to stop. I don't think I can remember one time even seeing a counselor in high school. But back on the dropout rates that you've mentioned, that's staggering. And that's contributing to overall, well, America used to be number one in education, and now we're somewhere ranked like number 12 worldwide. Cuba is even higher than we are. They have more literate people than we do in America.
Yeah, I don't know. Stone, you ever see a high school counselor? Where did you go to school?
No, well, it's been some time now, but back then it was more initiative-driven. I mean, if you wanted to see your counselor, everybody was there. They were available. They always told you all the resources were there, but they weren't necessarily saying, sit down here this month. We want to talk about your future, but you had them at your fingertips, but if you didn't take that initiative, it didn't happen.
Right, yeah. Well, of course, and these days, apparently, you'd only see a counselor if you're really in trouble or, you know, somebody committed suicide in the school and they have group counseling for people, which is new. In my days, we just kept on, you know, grieved privately, but today we grieve publicly, and I don't know if that's good or bad. But I was happy to see. I hadn't heard about the interventionists, and it's only one person per high school, and I don't know how many numbers they have to deal with that don't graduate. That's 25% of how many students are out there? There's 1,200 teachers, so there must be 4,000, 8,000, 10,000 students. 2,500 don't graduate after they start high school. Oh, my God. Okay, it's getting worse here, folks. So we're going to move on. We're outdoors live with the Dearborn in the Dearborn community in West Dearborn. It's the WHFR Journal. We're making waves, and waves are hitting us all the time of both beautiful wind and sunshine and big trucks coming by a lot. We're having fun out here. Hope you're enjoying your day. What else is going on in Dearborn? Well, let's take a look at the other list of issues. Fun stuff. Oh, yeah, of course. It's already started, so maybe you heard about the Dearborn Heights Spirit Fest. That's the city festival, carnival, and there's a special section in last Sunday's Dearborn Press and Guide, which you can probably go to the Dearborn Heights website, too. And today, it's on through the weekend through Sunday. Besides the amusement park rides, there's free shuttle service from the Dearborn Heights post office, if you know where that is. Doesn't say the address, but if you're in Dearborn Heights, you must know where the post office is. I assume it's on Ford Road somewhere, some big-time road. Nobody knows here. Nobody let me look. Okay. But the shuttle... Yeah, okay, there you go. Thank you, Julie. Shuttle is scheduled every 10 minutes, and it's free, I believe. Yeah, it's free. And it's weekend service only, but that, I think, is that just Saturday and Sunday? Yeah, I guess that's what they mean by weekend. To me, the weekend starts on Friday, you know, but as soon as the show is done, of course. Yeah. And they have, yeah, it says free shuttle service, but they start at 5 o'clock today. Okay, folks, so it's 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the free shuttle, and it is located on the grounds of somewhere out there in Dearborn Heights. So you could drive and park by there, I think. Darn. Hey, look at that. We're looking at the front page of the Spirit Fest thing, and it doesn't say. Okay, here's the map. It's right off Beach Daily Road, folks. Yes, it is. Probably south of Ford Road. That's good enough. All right. Canfield Ice Arena is in the back. Central Park Baseball Field. So it's probably the Canfield Park or something, all right? And, of course, they have amusement park rides, carnival games. The Canfield Community Center is right there, if you know where that is. I think that's where the seniors meet there, or at the Carolyn Kennedy Library. And the main entertainment tent, and a lot of entertainment. What entertainment? Well, they're trying to do a sort of surf-sup theme because, you know, Michigan is famous for its surf. Anybody surf in Lake Michigan or Lake Erie? I don't think so. Even when it's a full moon, I don't think there's a surf here. But nonetheless, that's the theme, folks. Have fun with it. There's a sixth annual pasta and pizza fest from 6 to 8 p.m., and the mayor is going to walk. Imagine. Yeah, for a half an hour. Mayor, he just blacked out. Starts with a P. Come on, folks.
Dearborn Heights Mayor?
Yeah. Well, let's go. There you go. Thanks. That's our crack news team here. Or is that cracked news team? We've been out in the sun here, folks. Give us a break since 10 a.m.
We're parched. We need water.
Yeah. Okay. And the Blinkies vendor just closed up, so, you know, we got a problem. Okay. No, the mayor's walk is wonderful. Community gets out there, and I know Mayor O'Reilly walks right at the beginning of Dearborn Homecoming with people around the block or something. And they have registration for the walk. Oh, my goodness. And you get a free Spirit Festival T-shirt for the first 125 people. And then tonight, oh, my goodness, there's Plutko's name. His walk is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield. So I guess if you get sick while you're on the walk, they're going to be there to pick you up, I guess. Some group called the Square Pegs, that's P-E-G-Z, are a 1980s pop rock tribute band. And they're sponsored by Garden City Hospital, Susan McGraw's favorite hospital, by the way, from 7:30 to 10 p.m. Wow, they're going to play oldies for 2.5 hours. Wow. Okay.
And the whole weekend is considered 80s weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow night's going to be the Dixiecrats, Dixieland Music, and then Byron in Motion, 70s and 80s music. And on Sunday... they're going to have Teen Angels with the Beach Boys tribute from 6:30 to 7:30, and then 50s and 60s music. They're going way back. So the more we go into the weekend, the further back we go in time. It's like a time machine out there, folks. This is Dearborn Heights Spirit Fest. It's around the Canfield Civic Center on Beach Daily Road in Dearborn Heights. Free shuttle from the Dearborn Heights Post Office starting at 5 p.m. today. And 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, but going on through the evening. So I assume they do that because the parking lots might be kind of filled up later in the afternoon and evening when the people want to go there for the free entertainment. So it sounds like fun. So check that out. That should be great. Keeping with the Dearborn Heights theme, Kevin, can you pull out the press and guide from Wednesday? One of the Dearborn Heights council persons, Tom Berry, actually wrote an editorial opinion. And it's on page 6A of the current paper. I think it's buried behind the press and guide there. There we go. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, council people, especially from Dearborn Heights, they don't usually write editorial opinions. They don't usually do a column unless, you know, unless they really are sort of odd man out. And no disrespect to Tom Berry, but where's 6A? Next page. Okay. There we go. And so here's the story. they're trying to figure out how to actually do their budget, both for this year and next year at Dearborn Heights. And they put in a tentative budget, as it had to do with the state of Michigan, and that was as of last December. But they knew that they could change it along the way, when they could review issues and make changes, because funding sometimes changes. One of the bad things is, anybody here driven to Dearborn Heights and gotten a parking speeding ticket recently?
It's been a while.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been a while for me, too. But a major source of funding for Dearborn Heights is actually the speeding tickets to give out on Ford Road, both the east side of Ford Road that moves into the area towards Dearborn, and, of course, the west side, which is more people think of that as Dearborn Heights over there, but, in fact, it's also on the east side. They're actually under pressure, the police department, to give more tickets. And it's really a bunch of speed traps. I'm sorry to say this. I said this to the police chief over there myself when we interviewed him in the station, and he just sort of grinned, because they get this commandment from City Hall. We need the money. Go out and give those tickets. And I wouldn't have a problem with that if it wasn't, in fact, Tom Berry mentions this in his article here, for the people that are really driving very recklessly and, let's say, more than 10 miles an hour over the limit, okay, probably should ticket them. But they're giving tickets now for people who are just a mile or two over the limit. They got radar, you know, and they zap them, and they, oh, you were, for 30 seconds, you were over the speed limit by 2 miles an hour. I'm just exaggerating here. I don't know if it's the case, but Tom Berry implies that's the case. And he's on the city council, so he should know. And that's not good community relations. In fact, a lot of students coming to us from Dearborn Heights, or coming from Garden City, coming down Ford Road, their first time at the college is an unpleasant experience because they were a little late for class, and they wind up getting a speeding ticket from Dearborn Heights. And I believe in enforcing the laws. You know, all the opinions expressed on the show is not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, so I can't blame them for something I said here. But nonetheless, that's been, I think, unfair for years. But here's, I'm actually going to read, in the midst of the wind blowing the paper around here, Tom Berry's opinion here, and you should read it too. Tom is in disagreement with the approach that the administration, that is Mayor Politko and his colleagues on the city council, I assume, is taking towards their budgetary issues. He says the budget is heavily dependent upon revenues generated from tickets written by police, early retirements, and a four-day work week. And he wants the direct approach. He says that Plant Moran, who happens to be one of the co-sponsors of Spirit Fest, they're an efficiency group, an accounting firm that actually gotten into efficiency planning. In other words, they'll come and review your situation and make suggestions on how to cut back on personnel or how to get more computers or whatever. Well, based on their suggestions or their research, the police force is staffed in Dearborn Heights with 20% more employees than other cities with similar populations. It also suggests, Plant Moran suggests, if the city went into receivership, and aren't they all going in that direction, not Dearborn right now, the police department would be the first place where cuts would be made by some emergency financial manager, probably. Okay, and he says that reducing the department by 12 officers, which will bring him down to the average for a city that size, I guess, is a savings of more than $850,000, and he says, with no loss of essential service. I bet there wouldn't be as many cops giving parking tickets, though, that way. Yeah. Have you experienced, Julie?
Yes, I have.
Okay. We have other people that have been victim to the Dearborn Heights. You don't have to go into details. That's okay.
Well, if you plead guilty and pay the ticket, you get no points on your, so you're almost,
they don't tell the state
compelled to go ahead and pay the ticket and plead guilty to it, because then you don't get any points.
Okay, Kevin?
I actually, come to think of it, last year when I was driving to class, I was coming down Greenfield because Southfield Freeway was closed. When I crossed over, I guess it's 30 miles an hour down Greenfield, and then when you cross the bridge into Dearborn, it becomes 40 or, I believe. Anyway, I was doing like five over, and I didn't even realize it. I got pulled over, and then the cop told me that they would, instead of writing a speeding ticket because that has points, they'll write it for impeding traffic because that has no points. But the ticket's $90 more. I'd rather have got the points and paid the less money.
You couldn't negotiate that?
No, I mean, I was done.
Because you see, the impeding thing stays in the city. That it's less paperwork for them, but more money, in fact, you know.
Yeah.
So I think they're encouraged to go that route. You don't get any points, but you still got to pay all the money. So we're just bringing it up here, folks. It's been an ongoing issue. I thought they were always a little too anxious to jump on people coming down the road there in Dearborn Heights. And now here's the councilman saying it's absolutely true, and even that they have too many officers, and they, you know, without the full-time people and those police cars, remember all the gas that they use out there to run after the beaters? And well, I'm just saying, folks, that shouldn't be necessary, and I don't know if I agree with him. I know whatever city you're living in, you'd rather know that there's more police available to come to your aid if needed or patrol the streets regularly than fewer. I think everybody would say, I'd rather have more than fewer, okay? Maybe not arresting you, but, you know, still, okay. And his other suggestion is a little controversial, too. So firing 12 people in the police department out there in Dearborn Heights, that's what Tom Berry suggests. And then he says, we don't really need a parks and recreation director, okay? So I'm thinking, well, don't they have parks? Don't they do recreation? Yeah, they do some. Don't they need a director? Well, he says that if that was eliminated, they can then be in a position to join a regional recreation department director. He says the regional approach will come sooner rather than later based on legislatures and Governor Rick Snyder's intended actions. In other words, cities will be forced to join together. It's like Allen Park is sort of belly up with their last millage failed, and that Unity Studios film studio went down, so they're $4 million in debt. Looks like Dearborn is going to provide them the police support they need for a small fee, of course, but less than it would cost them. So this is tough times, and he thinks they could save the additional $120,000. The recreation and parks director gets $120,000
a year. Wow.
Is that more than the mayor out there? I mean, that's... Boy, I'd like to manage a few parks. I bet he doesn't even have to cut the grass himself. You know, I assume he hires others for that. I mean, it just seems that's twice as much as the average teacher. Excuse me. I'm sure it's a big deal, and no insult to the present person who's doing the job. I know Dearborn has a ton of parks, and I know we need a director, and we got still swimming pools still for a while. So I don't know. It's interesting that, now, and also apparently a lot of them are on a four-day work week. And Plant Moran has said, but they didn't say this to us at the college, is that it's equated to inadequate services. In other words, there's not the extra day when the city is open to do business with the city. They're just not there. So it's not good to have a four-day work week, even if it costs a little more. Actually, at Henry Ford Community College, yeah, we have a four-day work week, but everybody still puts in 40 hours. So they're not cut in pay.
Or more.
Yeah. But they have to do 10-hour days, hopefully with long lunches, right, Julie?
I don't take long lunches.
Okay, right. She's always at her desk, folks. Okay. Okay, so that's it. You know, lawn maintenance, street cleaning, building permits, all kinds of other things are just not as good without full service 5 days a week. So he thinks the way to help the budget out is to save about $1 million, and they've got more than that. They have a proposal of $5.5 million, but he thinks that $1 million of it should be in what he suggests, and over 5 years it will save $4.85 million without the uncertainty of speeding ticket revenue. And so it's very very interesting situation there with that. I had another topic, was it about Dearborn Heights, and Kevin's going to fold the paper for me. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
We're outdoors here at the Bryan Public Library, and sorry you can't be out here helping us with our newspapers, but maybe it's better to listen in your car or at home, okay? Let's see. Oh, I wanted to briefly mention there's two things. Kevin, after you pulled that up, maybe Stone can help you here. We need to find in the Times Herald about the local primary race finalized for the August 7th election. And I also wanted to go on to mention, and there was a story here somewhere, is you might have heard that the state of Michigan now, in its wisdom, has changed its laws about fireworks. You can now buy rather dangerous fireworks in the state of Michigan legally. There's more than, I read there are over 200 vendors in the area, in the Detroit area now that are carrying, I don't know, some kind of rockets or major fireworks displays.
It's you can buy now basically what they sell in Ohio, so it prevents everybody from driving down to Ohio and buying the stuff because they're doing it anyways. So I guess the reason behind that was why not make it legal and have extra tax revenue. But I think it's only legal for mortars of 2 inches or less.
It's not everything that's allowed now, so don't go crazy, folks, in Ohio buying up stuff, because, and the city of Dearborn has released press releases. It's on the website for cityofdearborn.org. They're still going to enforce their noise pollution ordinances. So some of these things are, they're not so much fireworks, they're just sound bombs. They make noise. They're loud bangs, and that violates the ordinances. So if you have a problem, folks, with any neighbor, not just on 4th of July, but even between now and then, the state of Michigan, in their lack of wisdom, as is often the case, has said, oh, yeah, you can have these this extra dangerous ones, not everything for fireworks, but you can get these other ones now because it's good for business in Michigan. Yeah, but isn't there a safety factor, folks? Come on. And now that the police departments don't have the flexibility to stop things before they get out of control. So it's sad, but there's still things going on in that area.
Yeah, I've already noticed the difference over where I live. Ever since they passed that law, it seems like almost every night now people are lighting these things off, and it kind of gets annoying after a while.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And so feel free, Dearborn Police, give them a call. If you live in Dearborn, certainly, if you've got a disturbance in your neighborhood, just like any other kind of disturbance, they'll come and investigate. And if they find there's an actual violation of what's left of the rules, they will take care of that, certainly. Okay, looking also, I don't know if I need to talk about it because it's been so much in all the other commercial news media. You know, Representative George Duraney from Dearborn, he actually has his name on the bill in the House to help ban synthetic pot in Michigan, the K2 and the spice and other kinds of bath salt issues. People have been, can't believe it, smoking bath salt of some sort to get high. You've got some notes on this, Kevin? Kevin's looking for some notes there. But, you know, you heard about that. It'll probably be passed. As we said on the journal here on this language just last week, well, number one, synthetic pot ban, that makes you believe that pot is bad. And I'm here to say, and it's my opinion, my humble opinion, that marijuana is not as dangerous a drug as K2 or spice. So when you say synthetic pot, oh, it's as bad as pot, or it's the same as pot. Oh, no, it's much worse in its consequences, in its side effects, folks. And it's been related to a couple of well-publicized murders and other, shootings locally. So number one, the law is only going to be a temporary fix because it's a designer drug. They'll figure out something else for next week. And number two, do we really want legislators working with the drug of the week to ban? They better keep on their toes because next week there's going to be another drug like this they're going to have to ban. And what's happening with medical marijuana? I mean, there's many reasons why marijuana is not only safe to use, but it'll help cure at least some deadly symptoms of cancer and cancer treatments. So give me a break here. Let's think this through. It's good to have this ban. I hope they pass it quick, but it's not going to hold. It's not going to work. And it's not all that our legislators should be doing. There's a lot more positive or so-called proactive things that our legislators should be working on. But good for you, George, for starting it in the House anyway. Kevin?
Yeah, that spice and K2 that's been blamed for a recent bout of zombie-like, I don't know what you call it, but there's people out there that are performing cannibalism while they're on this stuff. San Antonio, Texas, a woman chopped off the head of her baby and ate the brains of it.
I don't want to go on. That's been on the national news, too. And even Fox News is talking about a zombie apocalypse now. And there's so few incidents of that, it's pathetic that they got to fill up airtime and cause a national scare. But yeah, K2, so-called spice, we're related to that. But hey, I've heard of some crazies that are cannibals without even taking any drugs. So, and they're just equally as perverse and terrible too. I mean, if you watch any TV shows, look at all those CSI cannibals, right? I mean, they're always profiling cannibals. And well, the typical cannibal is usually a white male, ages, you know, give me a break here. And the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, they had to come out and make a statement that there is no zombie apocalypse. There's no drug or epidemic that they know of that's causing cannibalism in the U.S. Now, give me a break. If they've got to deny it, we must really be in trouble. That's all I can say. So what are all of you standing here salivating and looking at me? I am not good to eat.
I'm a skinny guy. Take him.
Yeah. We've got to, when we get back to the station, we've got to produce a PSA that people are not good to eat. Because
yeah.
Maybe somebody got the wrong idea. Oh, eating people, it might taste good. It might get me high. No. Okay. We should be above that. Okay. Last but not least, we have about 5 minutes, 6 minutes to go before Highway 61 and Joanne Kurczynska comes on board. And I do want to thank Joe Sullivan for being there in the studio to help patch this through, and I hope we're still online. My phone says connected. Okay. Yes, it's getting exciting, and we're going to get some of these candidates in. You know, there's a primary race. That's right. If there's too many candidates for a certain office before November, it has to be whittled down by you, the voters, to just two candidates, one from each major party. And, of course, by November, there will probably be a third or fourth party that will have a candidate on there, too. But in the primaries, there's still multiple candidates for many positions. And we just had a story in the Times-Herald this week. I bet it will be in the Press and Guide this Sunday that's coming up. But they did the scoop here. They got the scoop. U.S. House of Representatives, 13th District, they've got a competition out there, and the battle lines are redrawn. So it's still East Dearborn, parts of Detroit, and several downriver communities. But John Conyers Jr., Democrat, is of course, they've been representing that area for a long time. But he's battling it out with two other Democrats, Glenn Anderson of Westland and Bert Johnson of Highland Park, in the primary on August 7th. And it looks like there's only one Republican, so don't worry about him. He'll be the one in November. In the 12th district, well, that's, 12th. They say 12th, but they talk about 15th. Okay. He is in the 15th, but the new district will be called the 12th, and he's going to be running for his 30th full term in the House of Representatives. He's 85 years old, as you know, and this is his district, or will be his district now, and he's going to face Democrat Daniel Marson of Ann Arbor in the primary, another Democrat out there, and in the Republicans, we've already mentioned a Karen Jacobson of Dearborn, but she has competition, a Cynthia Kallgren at Kallgren of Wyandotte, and so we do hope to talk to just about all these people, at least briefly, at Dearborn Homecoming, because that's a place, if they want to get Dearborn votes, they need to go out there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and shake hands and hand out information. We'll try to get some of these people on, because we like to do the challengers and the third-party candidates that you never hear about before, but might be fantastic people to run for office, and you don't know unless you hear about it here at WHFR. Sometimes they get in the paper. George Duraney is unopposed for a Michigan House 15th District, his challenger will be Republican Priscilla Parnes of Dearborn, and there's no primary battle there either. Turning the page, let's see if I can do this. Oh, the wind picked up as I said that. How did the wind know that I just said that? Mother Nature is listening. Okay, here we are. Pull that. Okay. Oh, this was good. Yeah, Wayne County Commission. As we know, of course, Gary Warrenchuk is going to be running for re-election from the sort of the Dearborn area of Wayne County. I don't think he's opposed, but out in Dearborn Heights, we did talk on the Heights News and Views, which is a Monday forum show we have here every 3 months on WHFR, and you can go to our website, WHFR.fm, and listen to this. We talked to Bob Constant, who is their current representative from the Dearborn Heights area, and he's term limited. He's been there 6 years. Bye-bye, Bob. So he decided to run for Wayne County Commissioner in that area. But guess what? There's already a Democrat there in that district, which has been redrawn, Diane Webb. And today, in the, I think it's the press guide, she just got a bunch of endorsements from not only Mayor Daniel Poletko in Dearborn Heights, but also from another businesses and civic groups and so on there. It's going to be a heck of a battle. Now, who has the bigger name recognition? Apparently, Diane Webb used to be also on, I may have this wrong, but I think she was also on the Dearborn Heights City Council. So she has some recognition from that job, as well as Constant from that job, as well as representative. So they're going to battle it out for August 7th, which is the better person to represent you out there in Dearborn Heights to Wayne County. Republican, there's only one, so no battle there in the primary. Republican for that commission seat, Mark Cochran of Redford. Okay? And, of course, last but not least, 19th District Court. We do know, and we've known this for a while, that there is the three people vying for the top two slots in November. This is nonpartisan, but Chief Judge Richard Wigani will face Candace Ewing Abbott. And we saw one of her supporters out here today handing out flyers, or at least she had a poster on her wagon that her child was in. Never knew her middle name was Ewing now. I wonder why that has surfaced. Does it make you more professional? And Sam Salome of Dearborn. And Sam Salome is getting the endorsement of Mayor O'Reilly of Dearborn. So that's going to be a real battle. And we hope to talk on WHFR Journal even before August with Candace Ewing Abbott and Sam Salome, too. Sam and Salome. I asked Mayor O'Reilly how to pronounce your name. Never gave me a definitive answer. Does that mean he didn't know, or he just had to go on with some of the question I asked him? I ask a lot of questions, so maybe he just jumped in there with the next question. I'm sorry, Sam, but we'd love to have you talking about this. I mean, what can you say as a judge? You can't say you're an activist judge. All you can say is you're fair and impartial and hardworking, right? I mean, won't they all say that? I mean,
they do all say that
if they're running for office. And the only thing different is if, and it doesn't happen in Dearborn, is if you have the Democratic or Republican parties also campaigning for you. And that doesn't usually become obvious in Dearborn. But obviously some of these people may be Democrats or Republicans in their private life and may get some support under the table. But it's like for Michigan Supreme Court, it's always the Democratic slate of nonpartisan judges and the Republican slate of nonpartisan judges. It's a real shame it works that way, because they should only run based on their amount of scholarship in terms of how much that they actually learn and know about the laws and their record of service. Have they had any judicial censures, which would look bad, right? I mean, the other courts reverse their decisions. That would look bad, right? There's really a lot more you could base your decision on than whether or not they led you off with a warning instead of a parking ticket or something. Okay, so that's the conflicts in the district judge races and the Wayne County Commission races and the House of Rep races coming up for August 7th, and we'll be keeping on top of that, and we won't have to be worried about papers flowing around next week because we'll be live in the studio. Okay, it's 2 minutes after 2. It's WHFR Dearborn you're listening to. Thank you to Joe.